Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Bless you. I'm excited to share another in the series we've been teaching on healing of the soul. And we're going to go to a very special place today in this series, part five. We're talking about today, in Christ, nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. Say, in Christ, there's nothing missing and nothing broken. Amen. Now, let me preface this statement that I believe it's important to be positive and to have positive confession and positive talk. I do not believe in denial. I do not believe we just can talk over a situation and by words just make it different only by words. I don't suggest that there aren't things that need to be corrected in us. I suggest to us that what we have in Christ is not missing and not broken. Amen? So that's a very important point to make. I've been saying it to the whole series, that I don't believe that when we say healing of the soul, I don't suggest there's something wrong with your soul. I've often told you that there's this problem of what I call the empty vessel syndrome, where you're made to think that there's something wrong with you, you're missing a whole lot, come over here, and I will give you the answers to your life. And it's just a way to get your money, get your attention. But the fact is, we'll come to our text in a moment, that Jesus in us says that no, nothing in you is missing. Nothing in you is broken. Now, there's stuff around us, things we handle that are missing and broken. But as far as who we are in Christ, say, I have everything I need. First text, foundation text, we've been working with this, Proverbs 4:23, if you can, read it with me. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This is part five of the series. We began with that text because it's so key. I mean, the Proverbs writer said, Solomon said, God is saying, above all else, above what else? Above what you want, above likes on Facebook, above a job promotion, above, you know, having a hassle with people. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Colossians 2, verse 10, if you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. That's New Living Translation. We normally read that as, you are complete in Christ. But I like this full thought that your completeness is through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority, not just people rulers and authorities, but things, stuff, trouble, whatever has a name, depression, all that, even though we get help for things as well. But Jesus gives us the knowledge that your completeness in him allows you to recognize that he ultimately can help you overcome whatever's trying to hold you down. We've experienced it, haven't we? So you are complete. Say, I am complete through my union with Christ. So we do not minimize that there are things going on, situations we're dealing with, difficult situations we're grappling with. Now, this previous slide, let's go back and look at this picture of puzzle pieces. Now, listen, being healthy at every level begins with understanding what healthy looks like. Now, life can be hard. Life can be cruel. We know this as well. But it's important that as Christ followers that we lean into the realities and the benefits of our life in Christ. We don't have shortcuts as believers in Christ. We face the same challenges, pay the same price for gas, go through all the same storms, weather storms, and so forth as everybody else. But the difference is we start with a firm foundation. We continue with a firm foundation. We have some place to stand. We have someone in whom we can trust. And so this picture I pull up because a lot of times in life, we're kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. We have all these pieces, and that's fine. But if you have a jigsaw puzzle with pieces and no picture of what the puzzle is supposed to be, that's going to be a problem, y'all. And sometimes we're like people with all these pieces of life and circumstances and things going on, but we don't know what the picture is supposed to be. If we sat there with this puzzle, trying to arrange the puzzle, make it come together without a picture, we would never be able to get that done. It would only lead to confusion, most of all, frustration. It's frustrating to have pieces, but no picture. So we suggest to you, that's just a recipe for frustration. But with Jesus, we are complete in him. We are complete through our union with Christ. So we have a picture of what healthy looks like. It looks like living in Christ and living with your mind renewed, with the healing power of God in your body. It looks like Jesus working through us and helping us. So then, without that knowledge of completeness in him, then we're like this jigsaw puzzle. You know, it's like trying to get answers to important questions on some place like Facebook. If we don't manage our relationships and interactions and social media, we get a bunch of pieces like that jigsaw puzzle. And we got pieces. Some pieces are good. Some are bad. Some don't belong there. Imagine if you had a jigsaw puzzle in front of you, but you had puzzles. You had pieces from two different puzzles. You don't know that. You're trying to put a puzzle together. You get a whole jumble of pieces from two different puzzles. You'll never get that done. That's what it's like seeking the wrong sources, talking to the wrong people. Like I always say, Earl Johnson said, if you don't know, don't help me. I'll go a step further. If I don't think you know, I won't even ask you. If you don't have some expertise, I'll just say hi and bye and God bless you, because when you need help, y'all. That's why I'm excited about this event coming up on Wednesday with Jan Mitchell. She has expertise in caregiving and grief and loss. You got to talk to people, listen to folk who can help you, help put the pieces together, have a picture of where the pieces belong. Otherwise, it is going to be a frustration, a time waster. So start with this. I'm complete in Jesus. Say, I'm complete in Jesus. Again, you have all the pieces. Now, here's the other side of it. We have all the pieces, but what's the picture look like? And how do we get those parts together where they belong? That is the challenge, is to understand what it means to be complete in Jesus. So we don't advocate for arrogance. I got it. I'm good to go. If you're not good to go, if you have an issue, don't just act like everything is all right. Listen, y'all, the Bible says faith calls things that are not as though they were. It did not say faith calls things that are as though they're not. There's a big difference in those statements. If it's a problem, it's a problem. We don't say it's not a problem. We say that it's a problem, and I believe I'll find answers in Christ and through the resources he provides to me. So I have all the pieces I need. Let's examine a little deeper this term complete. I looked this up in the Hebrew or Greek dictionary, and complete means All the parts are present. See, all the parts are present. Like a good jigsaw puzzle. The correct one. All the parts are in there. And this Greek word, I won't try to pronounce it, but it means this. It means to fill out. It means to cram. It means to level up, to furnish, to finish, and to verify. Wow, this is strong, y'all. You are complete in Christ. God has filled you out. God has crammed you. Crammed you with what you need. Say cram. You know what cram is, right? You got drawers, stuff in the house, crammed. All crammed up in there. I'm talking about crammed with everything. Everything you need is crammed up in you. It's in there. Say it's in there. Say it's in me. To fill out, to cram, to level up, to furnish, to finish, to verify. You are complete through your union with Christ. It's all in there. But the challenge is, how does it all fit? That's why we're in prayer, renew our minds, we come worship, learn from the Word of God. We want to, how does all this, how does it go together? It's all in there. So again, we don't suggest that we don't have any need to change, grow, and develop. We know we do. We're suggesting that God's already crammed everything we need inside of our spirit. Now united with Christ, say, God has crammed everything I need in me. I love that. That's why it's offensive for a person to come along and say, you know what, I sense you need this. I don't need that. I got it. Show me where it is. Explain to me how to access it. I am complete in Christ. Look what we're talking about, you know, come to my meeting. Why? You'll get delivered. From what? Don't get that mindset. Like I always say, you go from the deliverance meeting to the get set free meeting. You're going around because you think you're empty. People play on you. People love that. People want you to believe you need them. You need Jesus. See, I need Jesus. And whoever he sends to show you what he's already put in you. It's a problem, y'all, in this day. It's a problem not just in church circles. I mean, in the whole world. Everybody wants to make you think, you know, you don't have anything until you have me. You know, I was watching this guy talk, and he said he went to a friend's house. And this friend, he had a home theater, and he had a popcorn machine in there. He had a basketball court in there, and he could do hang gliding in there. He's joking, of course, hang gliding in the house so big. He said he got this house. Looked at he kicked over the chair. So he was disgusted at his own house after being in a big house. He kicked over the chair. I'm disgusted with this. I mean, he had a nice house. The point is, be careful that, you know, you don't think, and folk don't do this to you. We do it to ourselves. Where you see somebody else's stuff, now you feel inadequate. That's covetousness. That's a bad spirit. Amen. What you want to do is settle in your heart. I'm already complete in Christ Jesus. You know, we've had many cars, my wife and I, and you know, we only recently began having nice cars. I mean, recently, I mean, relatively so. You know, because it wasn't on our heart to have. Restate it. We never had hoopties. I'm talking about raggedy cars. Okay, I'm talking about cars that, you know, that needed help. We've had plenty of those. You have too. The point is whatever we've had, we thank God for it. We were not going to spend more than was necessary and sensible to impress anybody. My wife is still driving a little Honda. Girl, get yourself. Get something else. She likes a little Honda. I'm like, they got dings in the side, and come on, girl, get yourself. Now, she got a little red sports car. Now, she got two cars. Now, she's not lacking for cars. But point is, We're just not kind of people who need cars to validate ourselves, okay? We already when you're complete in Christ, you don't need stuff. You get stuff because you want it or you need it. I mean, for purpose. I don't have to have. Now, I got a nice car now. I just paid it off. It's, you know, almost, it's paid out, y'all. That's the best part about any car you got. I don't care if people think you should get a new one or not. And when you're really rolling, you do what Bertha does. She goes in and get a new car and pay cash for it. Half a car. She got a half a car, right? She buys a half a car, small car. Missing with her. And she come off that parking lot. That car is paid for, y'all. That's how Bertha roll. You know what I'm saying? The point is, if you know you are crammed with the things of God, the things of the world do not impress you anymore. You can take it or you can leave it, truly. And when people don't, when people are made to think you lack and you're empty, then they get drawn in to getting things to impress other people. And now you're in a hole. That thing you wanted puts you in a financial hole. You know what you find out when you pay a car off? You get a raise on your job. You get a raise. Feel like a raise, you know what I'm saying? Because you got more money. So again, payments, I'm okay with payments. People say, well, owe no man nothing. Now, my interpretation is pay it when it's due. But here's the point that I want to impress upon us. Is that please have the mindset. Everything you essentially need is already there in you. The key is, what is it? So here's the point. Bring the slide back up, please. So what we need to know is who we are, whose we are, and what we have. That's the key. Illustration I'll give you is some software. Now, we have God-given resources inside waiting to be discovered. Now, two examples, programs like Microsoft Word, Adobe Photoshop, many others. These are computer programs that have capabilities that many of us have barely used and don't even fully know with all that Word or Photoshop or Final Cut Pro, things I use. The point is, there's a lot in these software packages that we don't even know are in there, but the capabilities are in there. And I want us to recognize, I mean, if it's true for software, how much more is it for a believer in Christ? Please respect the fact you're crammed with the grace of God, with resources from God. Spend more time in prayer, more time in the Word, more time discovering who Christ is, how he is complete in you. That's a big word. Complete is a big word, y'all. It's a big word. That means that if it's complete, there must be a whole lot to learn about what it means to be complete. Amen, somebody? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This is what the Apostle, now Apostle Paul learned this principle. He learned it. He had a revelation on it. He taught it. Here in the scripture, and this is when Paul was dealing with a limitation in his own life. And he talked about, in verse 7 there, he talked about that lest he should be exalted above measure, he had a limitation, a thorn in the flesh. He said a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. And God literally kept him humble, helped keep him humble by the challenges he faced. Now, that's a true thing, y'all. You know, God knows us. Say it. There's a gift of a limitation. What it is, simply, is this. When you know what's not for you, you don't have to focus on it or try to get it. So stop trying to sing if you can't sing. That's not your thing, y'all. So then focus on what God has given you. So Paul found out. So here it is. Look now, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So Paul wrote this. And he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, For my power is made perfect in weakness. Wow. That is a strong point he made right there. Therefore, I will boast, Paul said, all the more in my limitations or weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That is totally opposite to how we think today. Totally opposite. Counterintuitive is the word we also use. In fact, the previous slide, go back one slide. I skipped over. And so the secret to strength is found in embracing human weakness. I didn't get no amen. Someone said yes, but nobody said amen. It's true, y'all. The secret to strength is found in embracing weakness. Not so that you keep being weak, but that when you recognize you're weak, you shift to the one who's strong. You stop trusting in the weakness. Stop going back over and over again and leaning upon your own understanding, because you've already discovered, I'm weak over here in myself. Let me stop that. Let me lean on the one who crammed his grace in me. See, Paul discovered this. So that text we read again, Paul said, God said, my grace is sufficient. Grace sufficient means it's enough. It's enough. Say it's enough. Say grace is enough for me. And grace isn't just a feeling. Grace is what God has. Grace is what God gives you. Grace is all the resources of God. So Paul said there, I'll delight. This is crazy. This is stone cold crazy talk. I will delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, difficulties. Paul's a different kind of dude, y'all. We complain at all these points. Paul said, I'm going to delight in it. Not that I have it, but it keeps me focused on the one who helps me. Got that? So then everything hinges on our union with Christ. Again, we began this teaching talking about we are complete through our union with Christ. Union, that's relationship. That not just our church membership and how much we read the Bible and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Those things are good. But the key is, the hinge point is our union with Christ. So then within ourselves, we are weak. In him, we are strong. Is that clear, everybody? Clear? Now, listen, these things are easy to say, harder to do. Because we want to give folk the impression, you know, that we got it all together, you know, and I'm good to go and all that, especially if you're trying to do, you know, a public profile kind of thing. You want to always project this thing about I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, and all that. But you know you're not always good. You know that we struggle sometimes. You know we aren't always happy. We're happy most of the time. Not all the time. Because we found out, you know what? Man, life is cruel sometimes. Life is hard sometimes. Life make you cry sometimes. But then, just when those things happen, at the moment I sense the weakness, at the same moment I sense the strength of God. I exchange weakness for strength. As Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Got that? Say, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So he has processed it. He has resolved that the weakness limitation is a gift that reminds me of the gift giver, who gives the best gift of all. So the fact I have lack reminds me there is abundance for me. All right, you got that. Now let's go on, look at this next text. I love this because here Paul illustrates to us how this works, what it looks like. I love it when we get practical texts like this. All right, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, We have this treasure, this grace, all this what's crammed in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Watch this. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Wow. So you listen to these statements, and Paul is telling you where the weakness is and where the strength is, where the human failing comes and where the God's empowerment comes. He says, we are hard pressed. That's in himself, hard but not crushed. You can press one part of me, you can't crush the other part of me. You can hard press my mind and my emotions, you will not crush my spirit. That ain't gonna happen. Of my renewed mind. No, that won't happen. He says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. You see what's happening here? Same condition, two responses, depending upon where you live, how you live, in whom you trust. He says, we are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. That's so good. Always carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus. See, he died for me, not to be overcome by being hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, or struck down. Those things won't conquer you. Those things won't conquer me. Because I am complete in Christ through my union with him. If you can crush Jesus, you can crush me. If you can hard press Jesus, if you can perplex him, persecute him beyond measure. Listen, y'all, they struck him down. He just rose from the dead. He got up from the grave. So the worst thing they could do to Jesus did not keep him down. Because even he knew that though he was God in the flesh, very God, all powerful, he chose to live like a man. The Bible says he suffered as a man. The Bible said he was tempted. He was tempted. He never yielded to it. He felt and faced all the stuff we faced. And he was always victorious. And that's the life he gives us. He gives us a victorious life. Say, Jesus gives me a victorious life. That's why we are complete in him. That's why you want to think about these things, live these things, because this is how we get through life that can be cruel, life, this life that can be, that is oftentimes very hard. All right, last point, talk about this word peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Let's just face the facts. If you're not at peace, your mind is somewhere else. And you're trusting something else. I mean, according to scripture now. He will keep you in perfect peace. Whose mind? Now listen, y'all, you can't read the first words without the words that follow. So the text did not say, you will keep him in perfect peace. Amen. Hallelujah. You will keep him in perfect peace. Amen, church. No, keep reading. Whose mind is stayed on you. Look at how much stuff wants to pull your mind off of Jesus. Amen. There are some phone calls you shouldn't even take. You know, that call to pull your mind straight off of him. Now, listen, I'm talking about when you're trying to meditate and pray, you always answer the phone for family. And so, I mean, I'm saying, but you know there are times when, let that go to voicemail. Did you know, if you have an iPhone, If you tap that power button twice, it'll send the call to voicemail, straight to voicemail. Y'all know that? I know. Not because I love folk. I love people. But I learned that if I don't keep my mind right, keep myself in peace, I can't help anybody. Any one of us, whoever you are, the anointing is great, but if you don't stay in peace, you can't help people. You cannot help them. So he'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed up on you because he trusts. So this word peace, the Hebrew word, I can't pronounce it. We often say shalom. Say shalom. That we know. That's a word, a Hebrew word. We say peace is shalom or peace. And we'll see that this definition amounts to nothing missing, nothing broken. Now watch this. This will bless you. It's my last slide today. All right. This word shalom, here's the direct definition. It means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, health, prosperity, tranquility, contentment, friendship with God and man in covenant relationship. That's the essence of the word peace. Or in summary, nothing missing, nothing broken. That's how important peace is in your life. Because the peace of God, the peace of God in your heart is your completeness. It is the guarantee against missing stuff and things being broken in you, inside of you. Soundness, welfare, peace, health, all this. He says, friendship with God and man in covenant relationship. Covenant relationship is different than just acquaintances and just knowing people, dropping names. But people you're in covenant with, it's like marriage. It's a different type of connection there. It's a trust. It's a love and a trust that nothing can break. Amen, somebody? I mean, even misunderstanding can't break a covenant. People can choose to break covenant, but no circumstance will break it because of peace. Peace is, in an essence, means nothing missing and nothing broken. So then we are complete in Christ through our union with him, and that because Jesus has brought us peace in our salvation, in a new nature, we have on the inside of us a peace that nothing can disturb unless we allow it to happen. You know, you can walk through, I mean, if you have peace in your heart and someone haul off and say, you stupid, you have no reaction to it. It's like, you know, it's like water off a duck's back, you know. I mean, when you have peace, it's amazing. When you really have peace, nothing disturbs you. Now, hey, now let me just back up and say, now, if your friend and your spouse come like that, that's going to mess your mind up a little bit, you know. But spouse and friends don't do that to you. I mean, spouse and real friends don't do that to you. They don't come around and just go stupid on you all of a sudden. True friends don't. Y'all didn't say nothing. Y'all all right with that? You got some friends that go, okay, wait a minute, let me back up. You better look at your circle of friends, see who you're dealing with, because a friend loves at all times. Friends don't trip on you. Friends don't go weird on you. See, here's how it works, y'all. When you're evaluating a friendship, take some time. You got to see how people act when things get weird around you. When you go through something, and the people who are always asking you for stuff, you have nothing to give them. Come on now. And so when you're going through, you can't see them, you can't find them no more. They only need you around when you had something to give them. They ain't no friend. That is not a friend. A friend doesn't, you know, just come around when you have it. They keep coming around when you don't have it. So you got to understand, that's why we go in these stores and people love, I mean, everybody's a friend. Facebook friends, Twitter friends. You're going to the hardware store. Hey, friend. They love calling you friend. But you're not my friend. You know, you don't say that. Because friendship, y'all, is covenant. Say it's covenant, y'all. You get okay. Just know what's going on. You know what's going on. But people like to play on words that are powerful words. So again, say I have peace. Say I am complete. I have soundness. I have prosperity, tranquility, contentment, friendship with God and man in covenant relationship. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Y'all believe that? Give God some praise. Amen. Come on, bless him. Hallelujah.